it just doesn't seem like there's any finality, any closure where anybody can say, all right, at least we know blank is going to happen.
Yeah, this is so vague. And you get people who argue that with all of the cuts they're talking about, that there's not a single cut in there, that this is, they're arguing over how much money to not spend in the future. So these are future dollars. And it is incredibly confusing looking at the editorial page and the op-ed page of the Washington Post today. And everybody, liberal, conservative, says that the agreement stinks.
Your column today is kind of about getting back to normal and just doing your job and forgetting about all this stuff. Hard to believe that we cynics were sitting here, you and I, yesterday and last week saying, they'll probably figure out some way while everybody's heads were exploding. And turns out we don't have to worry about it.
We don't have to worry about it, yeah.
We don't at least have to worry about the furloughs and all that jazz, unless, of course,
your FAA. Yeah. Yeah, and that's an interesting issue, too, because they've been on furlough for almost 2 weeks now, 4,000 people, no fault of their own. There are a number of issues in it, but one of the underlying issues that doesn't get explanation in the press, because it's very hard to explain, is the unionization. The Democrats, when they control the House and the Senate, made it easier for these FAA people who are non-controllers to unionize. And then when the Republicans came in, they changed it. And now they're trying to change it back to make it tougher for people to unionize. And that's one of the issues that you don't hear much about or see much about. Most people are concentrating on the revenue that's lost to the government, tax revenue from airlines for safety inspections.
But the bottom line in all of this is there's not much, nothing's really changed as far as the day-to-day life of somebody who works at one of the agencies.
They say that nothing's changed as far as air safety goes, that the controllers are on the job. And I heard this morning coming in to work on the radio that there are safety inspectors who are traveling and working even though they've been furloughed. Now, I don't question that, but I'm surprised because technically it's illegal to work for the federal government or anybody without being paid. It's called slavery, you know. But they said these people were doing it, and it may be that there are some dedicated types out there doing it. But this is a heck of a way to run a railroad.
Well, I don't even necessarily mean just the FAA. I mean all the agencies. If you're sitting there, this deal is done, and it supposedly was going to change all blah, 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 blah. And I can't imagine how somebody's life is different today than it was yesterday.
You're right. For the ordinary person, it's not. Whatever happens, happens. What's happening in these agency budget offices and the training and the procurement people, they're saying, well, here we go. Our fiscal year ends September 30th, right down the road. Our budget still hasn't been approved for this fiscal year. The new fiscal year starts October 1, and we start all over again. Do we operate? How far back do we go? Do we assume certain cuts? I mean, you can read all the tea leaves you want, but these instructions from Congress are very vague.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's saying big cuts, but they don't know where. And they're talking about defense, major cuts in defense, and at the same time, the political leaders are saying we can't give up our presence in Southeast Asia because you have the Chinese threat.
Was yakking it up with somebody this morning about benefits and some of the things that you and I have talked about, high three to high five and all that jazz. And this guy said, well, that a lot of those things will probably work themselves out in the FY 2012 budget, and we'll have some sense of where that's going to be. And I thought, well, if that works like the 2011 budget did, that means about a year from now, we should have some idea of how that's all going to work out.
Right. And, you know, I kind of doubt that. I mean, that would be one way to do it. But as you know, the budgets are agency specific. It might be transportation, labor, HHS. So could you do that for three agencies and not do it for all of them? The easier way to do it, and the way that a lot of the pros think is going to happen, is that this 12-member commission, I forget what they call it. It's got some nickname already.
The 12-member commission.
The 12-member commission. That's a good name. Six and six. But they're going to make their report toward the end of November. And a lot of these proposals from the original Deficit Reduction Commission and the Gang of Six, which was the Gang of Five, it is now Gang of Six again. But a lot of these proposals are going to resurface. Higher health insurance premiums for workers and retirees, greater contributions for people under both FERS and CERS retirement, and so on and so on. And that would seem to me to be the likely place for them to surface because it would be an up or down vote.
I think they should call that group of 12 the Dirty Dozen. I play the theme and everything.
In tomorrow's column, I refer to them as the Turkey Commission because it is right around Thanksgiving. I hope that's not offensive.
No, I'm sure nobody has any reason to find that offensive. Yeah. And I'm going to start this afternoon trying to get Lee Marvin named to that.
Lee Marvin would be good. The Dirty Dozen. Yes.
Exactly.
Okay.